Good evening. My mic is on. Good evening. I can hear myself real loud. Is that? I guess as you see, you can see that I'm not Brother Hampton. I'm William Simpson, standing in for Brother Hampton tonight, and would like to try to, as Brother Hampton say, keep it simple. Sometimes you can do it, and sometimes you get pretty excited and can't keep it simple. But I'm going to do the best I can to just try to keep it simple. I'm going to start tonight by just, first of all, just giving thanks to God for my salvation. You know, I think about it often now. When I look back, as they say that hindsight is perfect. You know, when you look back, everything is so much clearer than looking forward. My testimony is one of I think it's pretty simple. I don't think it was all that hard for me to recognize the truth. I think the biggest issue was with me was myself. You know, I think I had a lot of pride built up in me, and I think that was the biggest thing that hindered me. And I can remember in 1982, after beginning to study in the Bible and coming under conviction, and I think the worst thing it seems like you are under attack, and you're defending yourself. You know, it's like you're having a conversation with your conscience, and your conscience is trying to convince you that you just really need to let this alone. You know, don't rock the boat. Just let this thing stay just like it is. And conviction is something that God's way of trying to tell you. God is trying to tell you that you need to be saved. And for a moment, you put up a fight. You know, to me, this was like being in turmoil. You put up a fight, and you want to know that you got this idea that I'm some good, you know. Regardless to what you've read in the Bible, you're thinking, you know what? I've lived my life pretty good. I think about what Brother Hampton said, and I too at one point had that same thought that that God was going to weigh my good against my bad, and sort of balance the thing, you know, see which way would it balance out. And I thought, being a young man, I thought I grew up in my being raised by my grandparents. I thought she did a pretty good job, you know, and I thought I was pretty good. It was a lot of things that I seen other people do I hadn't did, and I thought I had kept myself, you know, pretty safe. But as you get older, you can see the thing just spiraling out of control. I think after a bad marriage, it go downhill very fast then, you know, because now you're trying to prove to yourself that you are not that person that this person made you to be. And so defending yourself come pretty big now. And so I think that was the biggest problem is trying to defend myself. But as I say, in 1982, I came under conviction. And after hearing being raised up in a Baptist a church and everything, and the contradiction that went on, and because the biggest thing they preached was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it was like you could see that it was something wrong. At least I know I could. I could see very clearly that was something wrong, because I would hear what one would say, and then I would hear another one say, and it just wasn't adding up. And so I took it upon myself to start studying the Bible for myself, and began to search the scriptures, and you can go so far by yourself. That's just only so far that you can go by yourself. But I think I've gotten far enough to I realize that I needed a savior. And as I say, come under conviction, and I realized that I needed to trust Christ. I knew for a fact I did not want to fall off into hell. I think the one thing that Baptist did was pretty much laid it out that if you didn't trust Christ, that hell would await you. People is all the time constantly assuring you that there is a hell, and if you don't trust Christ, that's where you would be going. But they use the term good and bad, and they use the term bad people go to hell. But later on in studying the word, you find out it's not bad people that go to hell. It's lost people that go to hell. The Bible says in Romans, there's none good, no, not one. So the issue is not bad people, because as Brother Moore would say, there ain't none of us worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell. And I have no issue with that. Because after I got saved in 1982, I began to study with Brother E.C. Moore out of Pensacola, Florida, and I began to listen to him on the TV. He would, every Sunday morning, I could listen to him, and then later on, I got on his tape ministry where once a month he would send you the tapes, just like we sent out CDs. And then later on, I had an opportunity to attend some of his Bible classes. And that was a very good thing, because, I got a chance to, ask a lot of questions. And, I can remember, after Brother Moore would teach a Bible class, he would be getting ready to leave, and I would go and I'd ask him some questions, and he'd always would take time and answer your question. And the one thing he'd always ask me was, Brother Simpson, do you believe your Bible? And I said, yes, I believe my Bible. And he said, okay, turn to a such and such a place in the Bible. And I turn and see what it says. And the thing I remember, I didn't have any problem with it. I didn't have any problem with turning to the scripture and believing what it said. I believe the Bible meant what it said. And I was so thankful to him for taking the time to point some things out to me. And it is amazing to me that people today, they don't want that. They don't want you pointing things out to them, or they'll say they believe their Bible. And when you say, well, okay, if you believe your Bible, turn to such and such a passage of scripture and show them something. And then they would immediately say, I don't believe that. You know, it's amazing that you would say, I believe my Bible. Then when I show it to you in the Bible, I don't believe that. Or I don't believe that mean what it said mean. You know, it is like Satan is playing games with their mind. And I understand that, because when you open up your Bible and you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you can see his tactic at work. You can clearly see his tactic at work. If you open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm just going to start in verse 1. And he says, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And it's funny how they can't see that. And the Bible says so clearly here that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Yeah. And then verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. And when I came in the door, we'd have had a conversation. You know, it's amazing that people underestimate the power of Satan. Mm-hmm. They really do. They underestimate the power. They underestimate the power that he has. They underestimate his influence on you. And you have this idea that you have something without knowledge. You know, I look back, and once, like I said, looking back, you can see things that is so clear looking back. I can remember knowing so much and hadn't did any study. And you know, now you look at that and you wonder, how does that work? How can you know so much and haven't done any study? But that is the influence that Satan has on you. He has a way of bombarding your mind into believing something that don't exist. I often hear Brother Hampton say, you know, you cannot go back to a place you've never been. And I think about that a lot. You cannot go back to a place you've never been. And this Bible has to be handled. It has to be handled. It has to be picked up. And these pages have to be turned. And it has to be read. And I can tell you, it has to be read more than once. It has to be read over and over and over, and even after you read it 100 times, there's still going to be stuff you're not going to get. You're just not going to get it. You know, you begin to handle these words. You begin to look at these words. You begin to consider what these words say. You begin to ponder over them in your mind. And I can remember, you know, after being saved, turn with me into 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look with me, if you will, in verse 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. You know, that indicates to me that conviction can take place and you can be saved without having all of the knowledge of the truth. See, it indicates here that you can be saved without having all the knowledge of the truth. Conviction is God's way of getting your attention to let you know that you need a Savior. You know, it's his way of letting you know that you need a Savior. Satan, like I said, is very cunning and he's very crafty. And usually we deceive ourselves with the thing that we have time. We got plenty of time. That's something that I can do later on. And usually we don't have, usually we have plenty of help. Usually Satan can always send you to someone that is always willing to play with you and to get you to believe that you got plenty of time. That ain't something that you need to worry about today. You know, you got plenty of time for that. You might as well go ahead on. We can go and do this and we can go and do that. You know, hey, you can do that some other time. Let's enjoy ourselves right now. And it's amazing that that's the way life plays out. When you begin to look back at the decision that you made to trust Christ, immediately you cannot see why you didn't do this very early in your life. You say, you know what? Why didn't I do this way back? Why? I mean, the opportunity was there. The opportunity was there. There are people come and try to preach the word to you, but once again, the blinding of the mind, Satan saying, "Hey, you know, you got time. You just a youth. Go ahead and enjoy yourself." You know, and I think about when I graduated. I think it was 196 of us that graduated. And I think about so many of them that's going on. You know, when I was in the fifth grade, there were three guys in the classroom named William. Two me and two classmates. All three of them was named William. And the teacher named us William 1, William 2, and William 3. She did it by our last name, William Simpson, William Carmichael, William Church. And so she would use, she did that, and she named us 1, 2, and 3. And I often think about it because I knew both of them real well. We played together and we did a lot of things after graduation, but I'm the only one that's living. William Carmichael died very early after he got out of school. William Turk, some years later, and a lot of time I ponder on my mind and look back. And we were just children, you know, then in school, and didn't know anything about God other than, you know. And I think about God, and I think when I read Romans 8, predestined, you know, to be conformed to the image of his son, you know, and the foreknowledge of God, you know, and how God know that somewhere in your life you're gonna trust him. And I often think about that was time when I used time myself. When someone would try to tell me about being safe, and I said, you know what? Hey, I got time. I got time. I mean, why should it be such a haste thing? I got time. Because, hey, I'm just a youth, you know? And so, I mean, hey, surely I'm going to live to be 70 or 80 years old, you know? My grandparents and them did, you know? And it just don't work that way. It don't work that way. You know, the Bible said your days are numbered. God have everybody days numbered. And the thing about it is, you don't know them days. You know, we're here today, and I consider myself in pretty good health. You know, I feel well, and you don't know what tomorrow may bring. You don't even know what the next 5 minutes may bring. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the way life is. And only God, with all of his wisdom and with all of his knowledge. And you think about it, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God, with all of his power and all of his foreknowledge, and the Bible says, when you think about God, awesome, magnificent, you know, it's the words that come to mind. And having the power to know ahead of time, you know, he knew the past, and he knows the future. He knows the day that you came into this world, and he knows the day that you're going to exit this world. He even knew whether you're saved or not. You know, that's God. And you have to think about it. He wouldn't be God if he didn't know all these things. You know, a God that can create heaven and earth. See, like if your mind, when you think about it in your mind, if God created heaven and earth, it is a small thing to know your birthday and your death date. And that is something small. That's minute. When you think about, when you look at this universe, you know, when you look at the earth and the sun and the moon and how it's set up, you know, and there's the sun that sits there, and then there's the earth that rotates around the sun, and then there's the moon that rotates around the earth. And you know, we look at it and you know, we have no control over it whatsoever. All is done by God. And I think about this thing that God, who would have all men to be saved, he made preparation for all men. Not saying that all men will be saved, but hey, he made preparation for them to be saved. You know, hey, he did everything for us to be saved. Now, if we don't get there, it's not going to be God's fault.
Sure.
You know, it's not going to be, you know, you're going to be able to go and say, God, you know, you know, let me use this term that people use today. Hey God, let me holler at you. You know, if it wasn't for so and so gotten in my way, I'd have been saved. Mm-hmm. No, that would be no such excuse.
when you walk around and you look at all of these people that apparently they don't want me. Mm-hmm. Apparently they don't want me. I look back at myself, and like I said, it wasn't that hard because I wanted it. I wanted it then, and I ain't never stopped wanting it. You know, I think about it, I want it now, wasn't I did then. I understand more now than I did then. You know, I have more appreciation for it now than I did then. You know, I think about, you know, once again, all of this thinking about what you thought salvation was going to be like, I had this idea that once you were saved, that you know everything. I mean, I have no idea where it came from, but I had it. I thought that when you get saved, you're going to know everything. I thought once you gotten saved, you live a perfect life. You know, I mean, you know, when you look back at this thing and you start thinking, where did this come from? I mean, who told you this? I mean, you got it in the back of your mind, everything that you thought it was going to be like. And then once you trust Christ, found out that, hey, you got this peace about you. You got this peace that is unmatchable by anything. And you get to coming into this knowledge of God, and it helps you do a better job of your life. And I look at the fact that after being saved, after coming under the knowledge of the truth, it simplifies your life. It simplifies your life. I think about when the Bible talks about being good. You know, in God's terms, we are morally good. We look at things on a morally scale. You were raised up. Your parents did a morally job, try to keep you in line, to stay out of prison, stay out of trouble, morally. But when what God is talking about, there's none good, no, not one, it's talking about being able to keep the law. And he's not talking about using the sacrifice either. He's talking about being able to keep the law. And we see that none was able to keep it. And therefore, he could write, there's none good, no, not one. Because why? There's none that is able to keep the law. I mean, it just, when you look at it, God knew what he was doing. When he gave the law, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew that if he could give the law, and by that law, you should be able to see that you need to trust Christ. Because there ain't no way that you could keep it. You know, I think about Israel and what God did for them. You know, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And so in the facts of when they sinned, they could take a sacrifice. They could take a blood sacrifice and offer it up to God that would cover their sin. But covering your sin and not sinning is two different things altogether. You see, that's what God is talking about. Who is it that can walk from the cradle to the grave without sinning at all? And none of us could accomplish it. Not a one could accomplish it. And the thing about it is, we can't even get close to it. We cannot even get close to it. I think about Paul and his life as he come along and what all he went through to bring us this word. I read in 2 Corinthians 4 But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And Paul calls it my gospel. He could call it my gospel because God gave it to him. He gave it to Paul first, and then Paul gave it to us. Paul gave us the word. Put the word down and so that later on that we'll be able to get it. And that we'll be able to share it with somebody else. And that's what the thing is all about. Is being able to have faithful men teach it to you, and then you turn around and teach it to somebody else. And like I said, when I was up at the Bible conference, that's what I was thinking about. I was saying to myself, man, you know what? These guys has dedicated themselves to this thing, and they can simplify this thing. I think about Brother Hampton and the job that he do. Oh man, you know, it amazes me sometimes the sacrifice that he go through and the time that he put in to show people this word. You know, I started to come here, I think it's about, if I'm not mistaken, about 8 years ago now. And when I first started coming, we was over on Clayton Street. And I would listening to him preach. And you know what? To come to a church and listen to a man that'll stand up and tell the truth no matter what. You know what? I think about it all the time. You know what? I don't think I really never shared this with any of y'all. When I started coming to Clayton Street, and I lived down in Butler County, in Greenville, Alabama, and I heard Brother Hampton preach on the TV, and saw the program, Absolute Truth, and my first comment was, yeah, right. Yeah, I bet. I bet that, you know, that was because, like I said, I was saved, and I knew about the truth, and I wasn't selling for nothing but the truth. And so when I heard him, I said, yeah, right. But nevertheless, I listened to him. And then I said to myself, you know what, this guy makes a lot of sense. And I said, and as a matter of fact, it sounds a lot like to me, like Brother Moore. And I said, you know what? Took me a couple of, because see, I when I'm at home and I'm listening to the program and I forget, you know, like come down to the end of the program and the number was flashing, and I think it took me a couple of Sundays where I could get the number wrote down. And so I called him and I asked him, and he was telling me about, yeah, you know, we'd love to have him. And so I come up here and I start to listen to him. And I was captivated by it, you know. And in Butler County, Greenville, I went to a mini church, and you know, you can't. It's pathetic for what you get. And so I'm sitting at home, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to the church. And I started coming, and I think some of the ones in here can verify what I'm saying. I pretty much come every Sunday, mm-hmm. every Wednesday night, and I drove from Greenville up here every Sunday, every Wednesday night, and then you know, I never gotten tired of it. And after 3 or 4 years of doing it, I still didn't get tired of it. And I was at home one day and I was thinking, you know what? I had an opportunity. I moved my gun. You know, it was the first time because I was raised up out in the country and I'm a country boy. And that's all my life ever consisted of, being in the country. And I was talking to Pastor Hampton about it. He said, you know what? We'll pray about it. You know, I ain't think nothing of it no more. He said, you know what? We'll pray about it. And you would be amazed that I met a woman here when I started coming to this church. And stayed in Montgomery for a little while. And we broke up. And I went back to Greenville. And after me and Pastor had that talk about it, and I made up my mind that if I had an opportunity, I'd move to Montgomery. First time in my life. Yes, that's what I said. Because I enjoyed the word. I enjoyed coming and hearing him preaching the word. And the opportunity came. I went to my boss lady and I asked her, I said, I want to know whether you're doing me a favor or not. And I said, well, hey, I want a house. And I want to know whether you'll help me get a house or not. And she said, sure, of course I'll help you get a house. And I said, it can't be that easy. And I said, well, let me tell you, the house that I want is in Montgomery. And she said, you said you want me to help you get a house. It doesn't make no difference where the house is at. You know, I credit you to nothing but God. I don't ever take credit for anything that happened in my life because, I mean, it was just like this come up out of the clear blue sky. You know, that just one Sunday, me coming to this church and having to leave to drive back down to Greenville, that thought entered my mind that I'd like to move to Montgomery. I tell you, you better be careful what you say. You better be careful what you say. Because I tell you, probably three months after that, I got a house here in Montgomery. I stay at 3227 Gilmer Avenue. And, it still hadn't let up. It still hadn't let up. I still enjoy hearing Pastor Hampton preach just as much as I did 8, 9 years ago when I first heard it. Matter of fact, I think I enjoy more now because I'm able to attend. I'm able to be here. I'm able to help him shed the light on somebody else. You know, I know it is him, the one that stands up here and preaches to us. But it is us that gets to make it so that he can do this. Because without us sitting out there in the audience, he wouldn't preach to these chairs very long. He wouldn't preach to these chairs very long. You know, and so, you know, we are part of it. We are part of it, and my salvation to me is something spectacular because I think about it all the time, you know, and I'm so grateful to God for an opportunity, you know, to come on, you know, I mean, you know, when I look back at it, because in my life I could just see, you know, the fact that I trust Christ, it could have so easily went the other way. Satan could have contaminated your mind, could have blinded your mind, you know, and you think about it. There are so many people out there right now with their mind blinded, you know, and I know you, and I know myself. We go and we try our best to try to talk to them and try to get them to see. And it is that strong that you cannot penetrate the barrier that he has on them. You know, something that is so simple, but yet it is so hard. And for myself, I realized that it's my upbringing. It was my upbringing. The Bible says in Matthew, the blind cannot lead the blind. And that's exactly what happened. You got blind leaders trying to lead you. And they take you down Primrose Lane. And you go down Primrose Lane so far. And then somebody come along and try to straighten you out and show you that you're going down Primrose Lane. And you fight them tooth and nail. It's just like you saying, they is attacking my religion. Well, then, you know what? If they don't attack your religion, you and your religion are going to wind up in hell. That's exactly where it's going to wind up at, in hell. You know, I know you and myself have come across them, and you try so hard to get them to see such a simple message. The Bible, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it." I mean, you listen. I can't give nobody my belief. You can't give nobody your belief. All we can do is try to tell them. It is up to them to believe it. And belief is something that everybody's got. I come to you with something, and there are two things that's going to happen. You're either going to believe it or you're not going to believe it. It is just that simple. And like I said, the preachers made the message so simple, and you can't, like sometimes for the life of me, I can't see why they can't get it. But 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their mind. And listen, this ain't no joke. This ain't no joke. If we don't get to them, hell awaits. There ain't no doubt about it. If we do not get to them, they are going to hell. They have to go to hell. It is written in God's word. It is written. If they don't go to hell, then God would have lied. They're going to hell. The only thing that you can do is try, and then try again. You know, I often think about, I got brothers and sisters. I try to talk to them. And you try, I try to use tactics that make it seem like I'm not attacking them. You know, gentle. I can't remember his name, up at Gunnersville. He told me, he said, start trying to use God's plan. And go with them. Go to them and tell them about God got a plan. Is you a part of it? And I said, you know what? I hope you don't mind if I use that. I said, because that's what I'm going to try. I'm going to try and go to them and tell them, hey, you know, God got a plan. Is you a part of it? And then try to lay the scripture out on them, you know, and see if coming at them from a different angle won't make them angrier. And maybe you can get a chance to stay with them a while. I got a brother that I'm real concerned about because he's not working. He's trying to get on disability. And I got an aunt, and she's pretty much trying to buy him off. Because, see, he's not working, so she's funding him a little money. And so she's pretty much dictating to him what he can believe and what he cannot believe. And I say, that's sick. But that's somehow, sometimes that's just the way life go. That's the way life go. But the only thing I can do is just keep on hammering at him with the word. I got a younger brother getting married the 27th. And if nothing if nothing go wrong and the weather permits, we're going to drive to New York. So I'm going to have about 17, 18 hours to hammer it. And hopefully I'll be able to convince. If not, you know, but I know one thing. If I don't get the job done, I know where he's going to wind up at. And there ain't no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Paul said in Second Timothy 4, verse 2, he said, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He said, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. You know, when you, I think about it. When you won't stand for the truth, you'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. And that's what they do. But he said, preach the word. You know, he said, just stay with it. Preach the word. And I think about it coming up. That's what was missing. They preach fables. They preach fables, and they loved it, those stories. That you find in the Old Testament. Daniel and the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jacob's ladder. You know, they stayed with it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They stayed with it all the time. They stayed with it. And if you have an opportunity to go back to some of those churches today, they still doing it. They're still doing it. It's funny how many times they'll invent ways to do it, do the same story a different way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they stay with it. They won't let up off. And you try to tell them that, you try to tell them, you take them to Matthew 10 and show them that Jesus Christ called 12 men and 12 men and 12 named those 12 men for Israel. He said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, in any city of the Samaritans, any of you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And how is you going to become the lost sheep of the house of Israel? And so you use a new tactic. Okay, if you're a lost sheep of the house of Israel,
what tribe?
Then tell me which tribe are you from. Larry, apparently he's using the same thing. Which one of the tribes are you from? You got to be from one of them. You got to be from one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's where that message is going. And then not only that, he's training them 12 men for the kingdom. Them 12 men gonna sit on 12 them 12 men gonna sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so you gotta be from one of the tribes. And then I think about when you go back to Genesis chapter 12, when God separated Abraham, get thee out of thy country and get away from thy kindred. But if I stop right there, if he said, get away from thy house and get away from thy kindred, look what he's leaving behind. See, he's separating Abraham from some people right there. Or what about all the other people that was there? And he separated Abraham out from them. Come out from among them. Mm-hmm. And hey, they don't even see that. Somehow or another, we be Abraham's seed. Really? How? I mean, listen. Paul said, preach the word. Mm-hmm. The word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke with all long suffering. And if you take these words, he said, we compare spiritual things with spiritual things. If you want to get at what God got in store for us, you have to stay
with these words. The words, listen, without the words, we'd have no knowledge. We'd have no knowledge of God. I think about John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without the Word, you have no knowledge. God gave us an apostle, and that apostle is preaching the Word to us, the Word that it needs to not only save us, but to give us a walk that we can enjoy our walk in Christ. Without these words that Paul got, we wouldn't know how to walk in Christ. You couldn't have this enjoyment that you have. You know? Or I think about before, I think about Wayne, and of course some of the things that he said, same thing I had. You lay there in the bed at night before you gotten saved, and you are confessing your sin, and you're hoping you ain't left out nothing, and then you're laying there sweating, and you are okay, I'm gonna confess all of my sins, and then on top of that, Lord, lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul here take. So let me put that on top of it. You know, I got all this going, and then I got my finger crossed and my toe, you know, everything, and you're hoping that it's enough. Is it enough? And you know what? You wake up the next morning. Okay, I made it through, and hey, night come, start all back over again. Same thing, you know. Confess all my sin, you know. Hey, and you just kept going over and over and over. To finally, you know what? Somebody come along and preach the word to you. Somebody come along and preach the word. The first somebody was Brother Moore. I started listening to Brother Moore. I couldn't get enough of Brother Moore. Really, I thought, I was like, how can one man possess so much knowledge? I just couldn't understand. How could this man possess so much knowledge? And I look at him and I was thinking, oh my goodness, how can he? And he was old when I first met him. And I was thinking, how could this man have this much knowledge? I mean, how can he recollect? How can, you know, if you got it, how can you bring it to where you can speak it? And I said to myself, I don't think I'll ever be able to get that to that point. And then I come here and I started to listen to Barry, and I'm thinking, wow, there's another one. Got the same thing. You know, he could pull it up, and I'm like, okay, listen, I studied my Bible. I got it. But can I pull it back up? It's like, you know, I got it in storage, but let me go back in and see if I can find it. Then I go back there and I got to throw out stuff, you know, move this, move that, and see if I can pull it back up. Mm-hmm. And that's how it go. But I understand, you know, being here and doing it day in and day out, that's worth something. That's worth something because I studied the Bible. And studying it and preaching it is two different things. See, if you study it and then you preaching it, then it's constantly turning over on you all the time. And it's there right because you know exactly what you need to say to somebody. It's just like playing chess. They move and you got to counter move. You see, I see Barry and he does that all the time. You know, okay, well, let me show you this. You know, I already see where you're going. Let me show you this. Do you believe your Bible? Yeah, I believe my Bible. Well, then let me show you this. You know, and let me tell you something. It takes Paul, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. No. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Not man. Listen, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not to be ashamed. You know, somebody come to you for information and you don't have it. Then, hey, you got to do some more study. And you know, when you look at so many churches that are going astray, hey, apparently they ain't studying at all. Mm-hmm. Or they have no course that is set.
playing church. And so many of them, that's all they're doing, just playing church. You know? And really, it saddens you. Because you know what the bottom line is. Listen, you have to get it down. You have to get it down. We attend a Grace Bible Church. And we are so fortunate that we can come here and have the word preached to us.
Yeah.
I mean, we are fortunate. But there are so many that's not that fortunate. And it is so many out there, you know. And listen, it ain't not our fault. They're not going to be able to blame us for it. Because they have the same opportunity that we have. So they can't blame us for it. But we appreciate the fact that we got a church that we can come to where we know the word is going to be preached. But some of the stuff that they get out there, some of the stuff that's being preached, and not only what's being preached, is who it's being preached by. You know, your children can do a better job. And it's amazing that they'll sit there and listen to us and go along. Mm-hmm. You know, I thank God that that came a day in my life I wasn't going along no more. I wasn't going along no more. I had to know the truth. I had to know the truth. It was just something dwelling inside of me. I had to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And I had to know the truth at any cost. I tell you about, I just drive down to Pensacola just to hear Brother E.C. Moore preach. I did, because I had to know the truth. I had to know the truth. I mean, it wasn't, I didn't want nothing short of knowing the truth. And I'm watching the clock. And I see, I got 2 minutes. I got 2 minutes to wrap this up. And I hope, I didn't do what you expected tonight, but I just wanted to take an opportunity to share some things that maybe somebody else's life is going the same way. You know? Because when you look all around us, hey, Satan is busy. He is very busy. He is very busy. And like I was telling brother, when we come into church, he can imprison your mind too, if you let him. You know, yeah, you have accepted Christ in your life, and you say, and you feel, Satan still can, he still can imprison your mind. He still can imprison your mind. And that's why Paul said, it is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who would have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Without the knowledge of the truth, your mind, he can imprison your mind. See, without these words in this Bible to keep your life on course, hey, you can easily get off course. Now, it's not going to change the fact that you're going to be with God, but you can live a miserable physical life. That's what he's saying. You can live a miserable physical life. You could even wind up like some people wind up taking their own life. Simply because they don't follow what the word say. Stay with the word. Get off on going down lane that would cause Satan to deceive your mind. Mm-hmm. I hope I have said some things to affect somebody. And I hope if you want to be saved, all you got to do, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's no more to it than that. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you.